As we continue in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we are preaching and teaching on Jehoshaphat about being attacked by various armies. And today we will pick up verses 5 through 13 in this text as he begins to stand before his people and pray on their behalf. And we're going to read from the NASB today, as we always read, Jehoshaphat, the 20th chapter, verses 5 through 13. If you have your Bibles, please stand for the reading, no matter where you are, for the Word of God. Amen. We'll give you time to find the text. Amen. And it reads, "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it, and have built you a sanctuary there for your name's sake. Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we shall stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now, behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession, from your possessions which you have given us as inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. This is the word of God. Father, we thank you, we praise you. We glorify your name. Now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we all say, Amen. Today, as we look at the prayer of Jehoshaphat, an answer to his prayer in response to his outcrying to God. As we finished our message last week, we saw Jehoshaphat calling for a nationwide fast, because they found themselves surrounded by enemies. What a time for us to hear this message at this time. We are facing a racial pandemic along with COVID-19. The enemy of systematic racism, which is an institutional racism that is in place today, which causes discrimination against those who are oppressed and those of a different color. This has been around for a long time, even from the Old Testament, New Testament, and today. There has been a problem with racism and with people. This message is for all of us because we find the faith community must see the importance of praying and fasting. We've asked our church every Wednesday for the next 6 Wednesdays to fast and pray from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Prayer and fasting to see God move and stand before God and ask God in our distress. Lord, we don't have the strength, but we rely on you. They did not have a power to stand against the enemy that was confronting them like us today. Within our own strength, we must be like Elizabeth and Judah to come and see God for answers and to depend on God, not in our strength. Looking for wisdom from God, looking for God's direction. Lord, how do we handle this great distress? The land is plagued with social disorder, chaos, racism, downtrodden, problems, people hurting people and killing people for no reason at all, just because of the creed and the color of their skin. But we must understand that God is in control. We protest because we want to speak our voice. We lift up the name of God because God hears the cry of His faith community and His saints. He will answer their prayer. But sometimes God has control of us. Hallelujah. It is something about when God troubles the water. And as He has troubled the waters this day, that we must recognize that God troubles the water. God is the one who can say, peace, you see. Has God ever troubled the waters in your life? With problems and you become discouraged and distressed. You don't know which way to turn, but if you turn to God in fasting and praying, He can say, peace, be still. Fasting is a neglected form of worship too often in the church. God longs for genuine prayer and genuine fasting in our hearts. When we look to God in our fasting and prayer, it's a sincere thing. I am God. I'm emptying myself out of anything I desire. Humanly. Because I need some spiritual food in my life. I need to hear from heaven, and heaven needs to connect to earth. Earth needs to connect to heaven. And that's what the Apostle was doing when he called a nationwide prayer and fasting. We hear on the commentators in the news asking, what can we do to make things better? But I have not heard even the Christians on TV say we need to pray and fast. Amen. We talk about policies, and we talk about racial injustice, we talk about all these things, but I've never heard a man of faith say in a view and say, what this nation needs to do is to fast and pray. If you really want to make a difference, if you really want to see a change, if you really want to see things shift for the kingdom of God, and you really want to see policies and procedures come into place and all this craziness stop, you must fast and pray. I challenge all my officials, government officials, that when you are in, you say, we must fast and pray. And ask God for directions to handle this civil unrest. Because that's the key that you'll have to say. Drew from. He saw Solomon. Before he went into battle, he would always pray. And he took up that same direction. He saw David. When David went into battle, David would fast and pray. And they proceeded to have victory because of the fasting and praying. We can do all these things. Write laws, the legislature laws, and all these things, but without God's hand, we are spinning our wheels. Yet things become better for a moment. But when God speaks, these things are the promises that God now will see you through. So as we look at this prayer today, he in the first area we want to know in verse 5, it says, He acknowledged the Lord as a true and living God. He says, if your husband is stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, and so that no one can stand against you. Psalm 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and all is constant, all that there is in it, and all who dwell in it. He's acknowledging that God, you are in control of the nations. You are in control of the land. And God, you are ruler over everything. And all Judah must stand before the Lord. And this nation must stand before the Lord. And we must say, God, you are totally in control. You set the sun in its place in the city. You put the stars in the socket that's still here today. You put the moon into the existence that is still here today. Lord, you know what's going on in the world. And you know what's happening. And Father God, aren't you the God who done all this? Aren't you the God who created all things? Aren't you the same God who gave us through the life? With his slingshot and his stone and struck him in the head. Aren't you the same God? You have all power and might, he says, are in your hand and no one can stand against God. I say, if you come to God in prayer and sincerity and fasting, nothing can stand against God. I don't care what's going on in your land, what's going on in your house, but when you stand before God, everything must cease. Everything comes to the point that we must trust God. He remembered the prayers of his dad and his grandfather and the people. He said, when I go into battle, I need God on my side. I'd never see a warrior go into battle without God being on his side. If you go into battle and not praying first, I don't care even if you're preaching. If you didn't pray enough, you got some problems. The problem why we fall short so often is because there's not the thing going on. Hallelujah. Churches must come together and handle the issues. In the civil rights movement days, churches didn't matter about denominations. They came together to pray. They came together to fast. They came together with one purpose and one purpose only, to see the hand of God move. To see God standing on their behalf. To see God intervene on their behalf. And then at this time, your husband is doing the same thing. He said, nation, we must come together and allow God to move on our behalf. We must understand the power of God. He said, do you not, our God, in verse 7, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? He said, God, didn't you do that for us before? For you the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said, God, you were the one who drove everything out. And he's talking to God. He said, this is the same God Abraham worshipped. This is the same God that God spoke to Moses in front of Pharaoh. The same God that departed the Red Sea. The same God that got you off the sick bed. The same God who healed you from a common cold. The same God who brought your child home. The same God who mended your marriage. The same God who gave you that job. The same God who put food on your table. The same God who provided today. The same God. Hallelujah. Your husband said, you're the same God who made Abraham the father of many nations, and you call him friend. This is the same God. We forget that God is God. He never changes. The problem is we change. The problem is we leave. God said, I never left you. I've never forsaken you. I've never seen the righteous man. This is the same God. So he's talking to God and says, God, I remember what you did then, I know what you're going to do today. Through our fasting and through our praying. Verse 8 says, they have lived in it. They have built you a sanctuary. Therefore, your name. I remember. They built the sanctuary for your own. For you to dwell. They built the Solomon's temple. They did all these things. And Lord, we know that you are present with us today because you stand in your courts. You don't have to be in the church house as we are today to stand before God. When you go to God, you are standing before his presence. He says, you are the Savior who is omnipotent, who is all powerful, who unfolds the things in this life. You are the same God who created nothing into something. You're the same God that gave us the knowledge. You're the same God who provided us the walk on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. We all have faced a Jordan storm in our lives. When we came to the riverbank, didn't know how we were going to get through. Didn't know how your problems were going to be solved. Didn't know how you were going to make ends meet. Didn't know if you were going to make it from day to day. Didn't not know that you got the doctor before if you're going to be around 6 months from now. But this is the same God that when they got to the Red Sea, he said, Moses, hold up your staff. And he held up the staff and the sea departed. This is the same God that was in at his time. Lord, he said, didn't we spare them? In verse 9, he says, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you. Your name is in this house and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Oh, he was seeking the strength of God. He was asking God, Lord, it is by your strength. Not because of who I am. Not because of my weapons that I have. Not because of my name is what my name is. It's because of you. God, I'm seeking your strength. Not my strength. Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm acknowledging your promises, God. I'm acknowledging who you are. I'm acknowledging, because Isaiah 41 and 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look around about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we depend on God, he said, I'll pull you out of the fiery place. I'll pull you out of the stronghold. I will clean you up. I will give you strength to move on. He said, you are the God who deliver us. Then he says in verse 10, which is key. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. That's interesting, my dad, because God, when you took us out of Egypt, we could have destroyed them then. But you told us to turn aside and let them be. Amen. It is something that when you see someone who don't like you and you just walk past them, it's like, I'm not going to bother with you today. Amen. And then all of a sudden they're going to make some concoctions and become against you. Amen. Amen. They say, Lord, you said, hold on, don't bother them. You said, turn aside from them, and we did not destroy them. Father God, you saved them. You helped them. And then he comes in verse 11 and says, see how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possessions. And you have given us as you have given as an inheritance? Oh, look at this text right here. God saved them. Told us to turn aside. But now they want to come against us. The land that you've given us, God, it was an inheritance from our fathers. It was a place where you put us. And now they want to come against us. Sometimes when God troubles waters, enemies that you have forgotten about will serve us. This is a reminder that God said, I can trouble the waters, but yet I can preserve you. Hallelujah. God said, I can make things happen. But God said also that I will keep you in perfect peace. Ooh, hallelujah. God said, I will disrupt your life, but I will give you joy at the same time. Oh, what a God that we serve. God is a God of mercy and grace and righteousness. God is a God that says, I am the same. I don't change. He says, yeah, they are coming against you, but yet if I give you something, nobody can take it from you. Amen. If God has elevated you to a certain position, God, no one can take it from you. If God has promised you something, no one can come and take it from you. What God has for you is for you. That's why I don't want nobody else's blessing. Hallelujah. We want to give what somebody else has up. Well, I tell you what, God has that for them. And God has something for you. He said, the land and inheritance is only for you. This land, don't worry about they going to come against you or they going to camp around you. Yes, sir. I place you there. When God places you somewhere, God says, this is for you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody should be shouting right now. Somebody should be right now, all around that kitchen table. Say, Lord, I thank you for putting me in this place. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you, Lord, because you have set me here. Not me, not brother, not Sally Jew, but the God has put me right here. This is my inheritance. So he said, Lord, this is prayer, y'all. This is serious. And then he says, in verse 12, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude, who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. He's speaking from victory. Amen. Have you ever prayed for victory? If you got all this against you? Have you ever prayed for victory? They're coming against you. Lord, they're fighting against you. Lord, the war is so great against you. But you know what? Stop praying for victory. And not praying from a losing position. Oh, hallelujah. Stop praying for victory. And stop praying from a losing position. If God is on your side, he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We pray too much from a depressed moment instead of from a victory moment. The Bible states that we are the head and not the tail. So it has to say, pray and the nation fasted from a place of victory, not from defeat. This word powerless is not a powerless, is that I'm not going to win. Because if you look at the whole prayer, he said, Lord, you're the God of Abraham, the God of promise. Lord, you are the God of inheritance, meaning that you placed us and we're rich. Meaning that God, you are the God of our forefathers, meaning that whatever you promised them is happening unto us now. And we are the seed of Abraham. Come on, somebody. You are a royal priesthood. You are a seed of a great father that came down from all the way from the New Testament to today. So stop praying from a defeat position and pray from a victory position because your inheritance comes from God. Your land comes from God. Your blessings come from God. And he mentioned all these things in the text. But we must understand as he mentioned them, he remembered what God was saying. And so when we pray, we got to remember what God already told us. He told us. He said it. and it's a promise. God doesn't break his promise. And so as he was praying this prayer, he prayed from a promise and a victory position. He says in the end of it, says, but our eyes are on you. God is bigger than any circumstance that you're facing. So you tell that circumstance, you are nothing compared to my God. You tell that sickness, you are nothing compared to my God. You tell that repossessed, you are nothing compared to my God. You say, you tell that oppression, state of mind, you are nothing compared to my God. You tell your problems, you are nothing compared to my God. Because my God is great and he's faithful.
Yes.
And as I come to a close today, hallelujah. Not only he was praying, but the whole church was behind him. I'm telling you today, if we want to see a difference in our nation, if we want to shake up our government, if we want to shake up our community, we must say, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. Because my help comes from the Lord. And hallelujah. He said, I will get in the sense that foot will not be moved. All of my help comes from the Lord. So I'm challenging you today that when we see all the stuff on me, when we hear things happening in our community, and our friends come and say, this is a disgrace, and yes, it is a disgrace, are we going to fast and pray? And next week we'll see the results of this fasting and praying. Hallelujah. Because God said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. See, the enemy thought he had peace when he came on the cross. But he forgot, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And so they hung by the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, who reconciled us, who brought us to the understanding that we are a child of God. So he brought us to a place of repentance. He brought us to a place of understanding that I need to be brought back to God. So Jesus gave his life on the cross. He gave his life on the cross. He said, if I be lifted up. So he put the nails and the crown of thorns on his head. But he said, if I, oh yeah, he did it. Yeah, again, I said, if I be lifted up. So what they did was that they lifted Jesus on the cross. And as they lifted Jesus upon the cross, all eyes began to gaze up at my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as they lifted him up, he began to pray to the Father. Come on, somebody. As he began to pray to the Father, the skies turned back when he died. And all of a sudden, he gave up the ghost. When he gave up the ghost, he took it down from the cross. Put it in a bottle too. But early in the morning, the promise came back. Jesus rose early in the morning. And he said, I have all power in heaven and earth in my hand. You see, when you fast and pray, and Jesus said in the text, if you pray anything in my name, the Father will honor you. The Father will hear you. And the Father will bless you. We must understand that the key to a better nation, the key to a better community, the key to a better family, the key to freedom, is having a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Fasting and praying is the key. Fasting and praying is what we must do. So we must choose faith, as this chapter tells us, choose faith over fear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father say, come through me. We must understand that the promises of Abraham is still the promises today. Amen. I'm done for today, but what a word. I hope this word has blessed you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word today. Your promises and everything that has been spoken in this prayer stands today. Lord, the disciples saw you praying and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We need to pray from victory, not from defeat. He reminded God and he spoke to God everything that God had promised. And everything he spoke in the promises that he spoke in his word, he saw happen. And he stood from the prayer of the present. And he spoke to the future, saying that, God, your promises are carrying on from generations to come. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your promises. As we stand, the enemy is all around us. We see it sun up and sun down. And even while we see the enemy is still roaring like a roaring lion, seeking you who may devour. But you said, I come to give life and life more abundantly. Now, Lord, we pray for life to be risen through your people. We pray for power, joy, and peace to come from the depths and the bowels of your people. For Father God, your promise. You said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And you said you will give the desire, you will add these things. And we worry too much, Lord, because we forget about what you have done. And Lord, help us hold on to the promises and the inheritance that you promised us in your word. Lord, we are the head and not the tail. We come from your word because you showed us and we bring it. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for loving us. Lord, we just praise your name today. Now, if there's one out there today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can do that today. Repeat after me, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe I can be saved. I repent of my sin. And I turn my life over to God today through Jesus Christ. If you said that today, you are saved. And he's Lord of your life. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, we ask that you bless the gifts and the offerings that we're about to receive for the first of your kingdom. Bless those who gave, bless those who have been alive and not able. But Lord, we pray for blessing over their lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Be blessed. God bless you.